Canada. What is a privilege? For the new Holden Colorado, with up to 500 newton meters of torque, it won't look new for long. Welcome to the Saturday Rub. Triple M rocks football.
Oh, we're down the Cattery. That's where we are. And we're about to take a look at the Western Bulldogs and the Cats. Oh. And I tell you what, we've arrived here in fine fettle. Nah. We're ready to go on a Saturday afternoon. A beautiful hour 40 rubs, bud. And then we get stuck into the Cats and the Dogs Saturday afternoon. We got Todd Goldstein to join us shortly. Daniel Menzel, Washington, not far away either. So that's what you got for the next hour and a half before this game gets underway. And I look around. We've never been that tight on a Saturday afternoon, it has to be said. We're a bit splintered. We're a bit all over the place.
When we come down here, Jim.
And I tell you, when it gets to July and it gets cold and blokes are had enough, bud, it just starts to fall apart at the seams a little bit.
It's always round 16, 17 and 18, and we're down here. There's not enough room in this box for a healthy sardine. Seriously, you could not...
You and I are touching
it. Yeah, you are. You're all over each other, you two.
I know it's bad radio, but I'm shoulder-to-shoulder warrior. And he's trying to buy... You know jacket. When you get on a plane and you try and get the elbow first?
Get over there!
Gaz has got the $1,800 Montclair on, so got a good look of him.
Bloody cold, Jim.
I must admit, I come from a different part of town, so yes. I just assumed you three guys were travelling down together, so I thought I'd ring Warrior, because I know you don't answer your phone, Gaz, that's and right, JB, you very rarely do.
Always ring your backs, bud.
No, you do.
I'm a good ringer back.
Gaz come down on his own, I can't believe that.
He keeps his own counsel.
Jim.
I'm going home with Gary, though.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am, and
you're
I'm looking forward
taking
to it.
Him home.
Well, I'm on my own. I'm happy to
But you're a Brighton resident, so you're going a different way, whereas Gary goes right past my joint, so that'll be good.
I do
we'll
not.
Have
In
a
fact,
nice
Warrior,
conversation on the way home.
You can hang around and take Jim back.
Yeah. It's long gone before the game's
gone. No, you
gone.
Won't. You should be hanging around.
I brought him down. That was my duty.
Hey, I had a nice quiet trip down. Yeah. And I enjoyed
How many Daniel Rich flavours?
None. That'd be stupid, Jim, you idiot. No, I followed a couple of Bulldog players, actually. They were keen to get here.
Were they?
Yep.
Were they?
No, it's good. Good drive down on your own. I honestly put my hand up. I didn't want you in my car.
No,
did.
I know that, Gary.
And
I was only winding
openly,
you up last night.
And I say without any fear of sort of embarrassment or retribution.
And I don't have any issue with it, but I'm just declaring now that you'll be
Warrior
taking
in
me
the
home.
Car and I could take Spud at a pinch because we go way back and he understands the importance of silence.
Have a look how much room he's got. He's lounging back. And like,
well, there's not much we can do about it.
He's changed headphones because he reckons these ones were on the nose a bit.
Yep.
Well, and that's another story.
Well, I'm not sure about these, but I'm led to believe at the Channel 9 rooms at the moment, there's a bit of a man crush going on in the Channel 9. At Channel 9, there's a man crush.
What are you talking about?
Hutchie's got a man crush on you.
He should have. He was declared on another radio station this morning as Gary's turtle, Hutchie. Yeah. What's just basically mean? Exists to drive Gary around entourage style.
I got text on Tuesday, I think it was, and they said Hutchie's hosting a new show, or he's actually a part of the new show on Channel 9.
What show?
Oh, it's a very good show, and he must be on the second show, Australians Embarrassing Bodies.
Come on, not my man.
No,
I thought Hutchie would have been a certain one. Maybe next week he's on it. Is he, Hutchie?
Not sure, but...
So Gary's not laughing, see? There is something in this.
No, he does a nice little regional show in the morning, I think, on a Saturday, doesn't
he?
Does he?
Jim was on it.
Oh, I was on today.
Oh, you did it, did you?
We were in Keringle or somewhere. I said, is that, by the way?
Got a little audience there that found themselves a niche market they've gone with. And you know what it is like? Him and Pix do it. You know when you, like, your older brothers who have grown up and are getting the job done everywhere, and you've got these annoying, pesky, snotty-nosed little brother that runs around and nips at your ankles.
That's it.
You want to play? That's what picks and Hutchie
are. That's it.
Out, you two. Just go back and play in the sandpit, and at some stage we might let you in the cool room, but you're not coming now.
Out.
Then you're in the nightclub, Jim, and you're in the booth. And then you got the other...
Staring over the red rope.
Let me in. No, boys, you're not coming in. So I appreciate where they want to be.
I know.
But just stay in the sandpit for another few years and play out in the regional area, and then we'll talk.
We've got all the good-looking tang in here, and you can just observe it from the other side of the rope.
Grab yourself a Carlton draft stubby and just slowly have that for the night, and we'll deal with the grey goose.
This thing in the middle's a vodka bucket, we don't care if it's 1,400. We're just paying for it. We're rolling.
We'll flip, we'll shout you a pot of VB and go back in the corner and do doing your best.
That's it. I don't get why that hasn't already dawned on them. Surely it has.
You know, and they try and give you a mention to drag in, so you know, I've got to play the big boy. Turn it up, you two. Just stay where you are. At some stage, you'll get a run, but just stay where you are.
Look at honestly. These two, by the way. Have we got a photo of this actually. That we put up on the net? You need to have a look at these two.
Gary's got half the box.
Hey, what do you want me to do, Warrior? Where would you like me to go?
You do have the most space.
As long as you're comfortable, Gary.
Where would you want me to go to generate more space?
As long as you're okay, no, we're fine.
Spud's ornery.
It is awkward, Spud. We are.
I don't like getting close to men. It's as simple as that, and I've got to be very careful where I go with that, but that's a given.
Spud, you've asked for a couple of minutes, 3 minutes, well, so we'll get to that later on. I want 3 minutes.
No, I've used it.
Oh, you've used it. You haven't gone with it already.
Is that it?
That can't be it, Spud. That
laid-out stuff about. Oh, come on. That can't be it, Spud.
Embarrassing bodies was your pinnacle.
Oh, jeez. You drove down on your own and dilled into that.
An hour and 40 down.
I called. You. I tried to call you. Have you got a little fillet here or a little morsel or something? Nothing.
Clearly nothing.
Oh, come on, Spud.
That's flatness. We've got a little pearl coming up. He shot it off in the first minute.
Come on.
I just tested the water early and it was just...
Right,
that would
be a good
trump
game.
Card, and I thought, well, that gets a real couple of zingers. But these guys, right. It was like looking at Weekend and Bernie's when I was talking about, and I thought, I don't think I'll go with option two. No.
You didn't get much traction, Spud.
No, I didn't.
This will be a good game, this, by the way.
I agree.
I was just saying to my old mate, Wok Fry, we like to look at the market every now and then, just for interest's sake. $2.45, gamble responsibly, the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah, no Selwood as well. So
$2.45, the dogs. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm listening.
The form line down here for the Cats has been poor. I picked Geelong, by the way, but sometimes when you see something like that, it just raises your substantial eyebrows.
Well, Gary, I every week go through a very simple preparation for calling the footy so that I can get half the names right half of the time. But as I did it this morning, I totally agree. As I'm going through the Western Bulldogs player for player, I'm thinking, actually a bloody good side, this mob. But, you just don't, time. Until you actually look at the names and get yourself ready to do the job. I looked at it and I thought, there isn't a name in there. Well, there's a couple I didn't really recognise. But in their spine and strength, there's quality everywhere.
And there's X factor too, Jimmy.
Dogs.
Yeah, they are.
There's X factor.
I like coach. What they're doing.
We're slow to embrace sometimes, but their form line stacks up so well. And the form line of their opponents, down here particularly, hasn't been great, which used to be the fortress, of course. They lose their inspirational leader, who so often has sort of picked them up himself and dragged them across the line when they've got into some sort of trouble, particularly with the grey and ominous clouds down here. It would need to be a reversal of where these two teams are at to justify that crown bet position. And we'll speak to Ben Dixon, I suppose,
later.
Well,
it's a three-win difference, isn't it? Six wins to Geelong at this stage, nine to the Bulldogs, and have met every challenge they've been faced with this year, the Dogs. One thing, Gaz, and we'll discuss it as we discussed last night's game about Todd Goldstein's dominance, but these two teams are almost going in ruckman less today, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Campbell versus Walker.
Yeah, and Luke Beveridge has been a bit lateral in the way he's tried to go about it and played a couple of ruckman at times at the same time against Aaron Sandlands. Roughhead comes into this side, though. Jordan, we're talking here, and I've been really impressed when he's gone into the ruck. So he might just give him a little bit of an advantage if he plays through there. So there's a lot to like.
Speaking of Luke Beveridge, Gaz, and Spud, his willingness to throw young kids into this already very well-functioning team is what is so impressive. You look at Josh Pruden, you look at Bailey Dale, you look at Tom Campbell. You know, there are some blokes in here. Jack Redpath has played a little bit more footy, but these are young kids, Spud, who you think, well, all right, if they're in the bottom four and they've just got to find out about their list, you'd expect to see those sort of names playing, but they're in the
Daniel.
Eight. Yeah, absolutely.
Little fella.
What he's been able to do, JB, is set the guidelines nice and early. If your form isn't great after 2 weeks, you're out, and if your form's really good in the VFL, I'll promote you. And I think that just gives everyone an honest go at it. And I think that's what he's been able to do. He's nearly played about 36 players already. Yeah. And you said they're 9-5, so he's not afraid to drop some big names.
Made four changes to the side that rattled at home over the top of the Gold Coast last week. He's dropped Jack McRae, Jim, earlier in the year, who we all thought was going to you know, absolutely tear the competition to shreds. So, yeah, you got to love what he's doing.
Lucas Webb. Lucas some Webb's of these ripper, Nipsies, Gary, they're good just brand new Nipsies.
Well, they're not even Nipsies. They're even a little touch above that. So, I think a lot of the people just keep saying, oh, you know, they're going to drop off at some stage. They're given no indication that they have.
No.
And so that makes for a really good game, because I've also got enormous respect. I'm not denigrating the Geelong Footy Club, but then they're a side who has taken a long time for us to come around to the fact that they're not quite the side that they once were, but we've got enormous respect, which means today's going to be a really good game.
Mitch Duncan, are we surprised, Spud, that he plays after 10 or 9 weeks absent and straight back in 10?
I'm not surprised, because I think this is a mini final for them. They lose this game of footy, I don't think they'll play in the finals.
Yeah.
We know they got the 2 points, unfortunately, a couple of weeks ago, which put them behind the eight ball a little bit, but no, I think they're keen to win this game, and they'll look, if they were fourth on the ladder, like they have been over the last 7-8 years, there's no doubt he would play in the VFL, and they'd give him an extra week on the training track. But the time is now for Geelong. If they don't win this game, I reckon they're really going to struggle to play in September.
We've got Todd Goldstein coming up in the next break, I think. So, obviously, we're going to be unable to talk about him when he's on air.
Yeah.
His performance last night, I didn't hear you guys commentating. Obviously, he's just watching. I haven't seen a ruckman dominate a game of footy like that before. I can't remember the last time. You got the first-hand dominance, the Sandilands, and a bit of Nat Nui, where they are amazing in the pure rucking situation. But, Spud, I don't know. I don't even know what the statistics were, but getting around the ground, taking contested marks, even though Champion Data somehow failed to recognise one of them, or he took 10 in the game. Apparently, he didn't take one. But then stripping the ball and pumping it inside 50, I mean, it was just extraordinary.
No, and what I loved about it most was that he stood at the centre circle, looked across the circle, and this is not having a crack at Sean McKernan. But Sean McKernan was on the rookie list about a month ago, and he looked at him and he said, "I'll show you why you should be on the rookie list." And sometimes there was just blood in the nostrils. He had he said, "I've got a live result here." And then he had 10 possessions, Jim, in 20 minutes.
Yep.
And he averages 14 a game. 10 possessions, 5 marks in 20 minutes of footy. Averages 14 and 5 a game. And, you were going that bad at that stage. He was the main reason that you just said, he'll get him out of the mire.
Looking at the broadcast, I was surprised. Heber went up third man a couple of times, and it looked like that was going to be the imprimatur for Essendon for the rest of the game. But then it just fell away.
Young man that played on Dyson Heppel. Yeah. I reckon he would have got a pretty solid message from Brad Scott after the third time and was able to do a terrific job, not only there, but to keep Dyson Heppel to a game that I haven't seen him play before in terms of how quiet he was.
Yeah, look, he's the dominant big man, ruckman, in the competition at the moment. As far as hit-outs and around the ground, he's second efforts in tackling.
The scoreboard.
Score involvement. Well, 27 disposals. That is a magnificent performance. And as I said, he's had three really good consistent years in a row. But he's gone to another level this year, guys.
So we watched Melbourne play Essendon last week. We saw Max Gorn play a fantastic game, probably the best three or four players on the ground. And he was similarly dominant early against Essendon. So the question you ask yourself is, what are they doing at match committee through the week, knowing they're coming up against a player, with all due respect to Maxi Gorn, who's going really well, but they're going, right, here comes the Australian ruckman, what are we going to do? They went with the same. Now, what they did against Melbourne after a quarter and a half was able to, or probably more after half time, go, okay, we're not going to get hands on it, but they started to turn the clearances around by sharking Gorn and got on top in that area. So whether or not they lulled themselves into the security through the week that, okay, we know we're going to get smashed, but we'll try and do what we did with Melbourne last week. But they just came up against a completely different proposition and a better side.
Would there be a debate at the Essendon review to maybe, and I know Cale Hooker's been thrown back, he's been now put forward, just to give him 10 or 15 minutes in there, different?
Is our ruck expert, of course, and he was on that line as well. You know, there's this inevitability about this. You've got to try something. You've got to throw something else at it.
There'd be more debate about the recruitment of Jonathan Giles last year, and we discussed this on this platform about a month ago, didn't we, Gaz, when he couldn't get a look in with all the injuries. And look, I know they were hamstrung last year. When Ryder left them, the manoeuvring for big men around the competition had already been completed by way of the forward transaction. So they were left with what was left, and Jonathan Giles was one of them. So they had to get someone in, but at the same time, they've had a pre-season with him and now 15, 16 weeks of football. For him to not be part of their mix last night in the circumstances you accurately outlined in terms of what happened to Melbourne last week. It's just, I mean, why would you get him into the club?
You'd probably quit if you're Jonathan Giles.
You may as well, because you're not playing football for the rest of the year, are you? Not the way Essendon is now approaching the remaining matches of 2015.
No, well, I don't know what they do for me. I mean, they got who they play this week. Where are you find that out for us?
I'll have a quick look here.
Right now you'd be sitting there going, gee, regardless of who we play the following week, it's going to be...
Well, it's up against Paddy Ryder, Port Adelaide on the Saturday night.
So Lobie and Ryder, who haven't been in great nick, but they're a fair combination. I mean, you might end up getting the same sort of deal handed to you, so they're going to have to do something.
Spud, sort of channeling Sam from 10 years ago down here when it was the coldest day, I think, ever at the Skilled Stadium, and Sam went nude in the box for a quarter.
Well,
because so hard that Chief and I whinged about how cold it was that he went the opposite way and was nude for a quarter in the box, right next to Bomber Thompson, who was trying to coach, looking sideways at the force with no clothes on. So, Spud, you just got a T-shirt on, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, it's...
sort of wearing my clothes. It's the Ballarat sort of way.
Is it the colder it gets, the less you wear?
Yeah, no. Well, when you... swim in the bay when it's about 9.5 degrees. This is very warm.
Gets hot in here too.
It's close and it's right. A bit of body warmth that's happening in here. And I'm from Ballarat, mate.
The Warrior. Giving you some body warmth.
Well, no, nothing coming up for Warrior. There's no body. You've got to have muscles for body warmth.
We're going to get to Todd Goldstein next.
Not bones close, and skin.
Last night we saw the Kangaroos, 25-point winners over Essendon. Got the job done in the end. Fair to say, a bit scrappy on the way through. But this man, one of the dominant big man performances we've seen for a long time, the ruckman for the Kangaroos, Todd Goldstein, who's in the middle of a fantastic season, by the way. I don't really do the super coach or the other one, Purple. It's not my go, as you know, so I'm pretty ignorant to it. But I understand that 175 points and whatever he did in the other one is pretty substantial.
200 plus.
If, 220. And if you have him as your captain, that gets doubled, doesn't it?
One of my boys is a guru, and there's this special loophole, Jim, where you can put a vice captain up, have a look to see how he goes on a Friday night. And if he does, then you have your captain on. Anyway, it's fair to say everyone will have big Goldie. That's a 440 straight up. Oh, and away you go.
There you go. Well, it was a fantastic performance, and it was a game-shaping performance, because certainly for a lot of the first half, his side wasn't great. And our speaker, Todd Goldstein, he joins us now. Goldman, welcome.
Thanks a lot, boys.
Do you have yourself as a vice-captain in your Supercoach team, Goldie?
I definitely don't play Supercoach or anything like that. I stay well away from it.
Tell me this, mate. When you line up in the centre circle and you look across and you know Sean McKernan standing there, man, that is not, you know, ideally suited to play first ruck, probably hasn't done it more than a handful of times ever. In your own mind, have you got, well, clearly you have, but did you say to yourself, here is a job that needs to be done and I'm going to be ruthless in my execution of it?
Yeah, I think, you know, every week it doesn't change too much no matter who I'm coming up against. Got to just do get my follow-ups and things like that right. And I think, you know, I knew probably the centre bounce is the one area where I thought that Sean was going to be really competitive and was going to be really tough to come up against. He's got a really good leap, so I knew that, you know, he was going to be giving everything he had. So I knew it was going to be a tough day.
But then you got to execute, though, and within the first 10 minutes, you'd put your stamp on the game, which I loved, and you were working not only at the clearances and the ruck work, but you were pushing forward hard and getting to places on the ground that I like ruckmen to get to. So I thought you put a stamp on this match definitively early.
Yeah, it's amazing what confidence can do, and I think when you're backing yourself to take the mark, to make a contest every time, it's funny how things start to fall your way, and that's the way things are going at the moment. I think my confidence has never been as high as it is now, and I'm really backing myself to if I'm not going to mark it, at least bring it to the ball to ground and give our middies first chance.
Well, everyone enjoyed it, mate. Universally, the most dominant player on the ground, one of the most dominant performances for the year. What about your club, though? I mean, this was a game that had everything riding on it, as will the rest of this year, because you put yourselves in a position now where you can't afford to have a let up. There was this up and down, win one, lose one, win two, lose two, sort of a pattern emerging. I thought there'd be a far more ferocious opening to this game from a North Melbourne point of view, and it didn't materialise.
Yeah, I think our pressure was actually quite good for pretty much the whole night. It was more just the way we were moving the ball, and I think a fair few skill errors really let us down, and just our kicking going forward. But I think from a pressure point, it was actually the last couple of weeks have been two of our better games, and it's definitely given us something to build on going forward, because, you know, as you said, we don't have much room to move now. But I think, you know, I think if we can just keep ticking boxes and, you know, building towards, you know, hopefully a good final campaign, then that's all we can ask for. But yeah, our pressure hasn't been great this year, and that's been a big focus for Brad and the coaches, and But I think we've definitely hit that mark the last couple of games.
Todd, well done, an outstanding game and an outstanding season thus far. Can you tell us a little bit about your background? We know you played basketball, but pick 37 in 2006 draft. Is it true that when you played for Oakley, that was the first time you played, and you played about six games in the TAC Cup, and then obviously North Melbourne recruited you?
No, I played school footy, but I was one of those players that never rocked up to training. I was terrible. So I don't know if that counts as footy or not. But yeah, it wasn't too, I think the first half of pre-season with Oakley Chargers my bottom age year, and then gave up for basketball. And yeah, I was lucky enough to come into the last four games of the Oakley Chargers season and play in the four finals and in the premiership there. So that was probably the main part of sort of more professional, more focused on footy that I'd ever been. I'd never really, it's sort of been half-time because school forced me to play.
So did you have a hard decision with basketball? We're obviously a state representative in underage. So was it a tough choice in the end? Obviously, it's an easy one to say now, but in hindsight, was it tough?
Oh, it was incredibly tough. I mean, my whole life I'd been working to go play college and go to the NBA and all something like that. And I was obviously probably never going to be good enough to go to the NBA. But I think that had been my focus. I'd never really contemplated anything else other than trying to make a career out of basketball. So it was incredibly tough to walk away from the first probably pretty much 18 years of my life and my goals. But you know, I think I'd probably become a bit disenfranchised with basketball and the way it was run and all the politics involved. So I think I needed for myself a fresh start and a new outlook on things. And I was lucky enough that footy gave me that opportunity.
Todd, what is it that you attribute to being the reason for 2015 being the breakout year? I know there's been really good form from yourself in 2014, 13, 12, even 11, but this year has elevated you to the absolute elite. What is it? Why this year?
I think it's been building. I think, you know, probably the second half of last year, I got a lot of confidence out of it. I think, you know, I had a pretty terrible start, or a pretty average start for the first, you know, 8 to 10 weeks, and really came home strong. And I think, you know, maybe a couple of good performances in the finals really helped last year. But it's just, yeah, I think it was just coming to pre-season. I felt confident. I felt comfortable in myself as a person, as a player. And I think that's a good start. And I knew the areas where I had to improve. And I was just working on things like the marking and getting involved. And yeah, once the confidence started to grow, the rest of the game sort of followed.
We've got an All-Australian selector in the box as we speak. I'm going to put it on him right now, Spud. After 16 rounds of football, is this man locked in?
Spud just built
as an All-Australian
ruckman. He just clipped him. Yep.
Look, he'll get my vote. I'm 1 of 7. Oh. But
he got my vote, no, the old selector.
1 of 7, and he'd be a lock at the moment. Absolute lock at the minute.
There's right even there. Gary Ablett stage now, isn't it? Even if he stops playing, as Ablett yep. did after round 16, he's in, I would have thought so.
No doubt. He's been very stiff the last couple of years,
got,
I might add.
Got my vote.
Very stiff the last couple of years.
Gold man, I want to just highlight what happened at halftime. I think North Melbourne supporters for the next decade, hopefully, will really enjoy watching Taylor Garner. Wears a very famous number, 27, at our footy club. And a little sort of scuffle melee broke out, and it didn't look like it was going to eventuate into much. And then suddenly Garns wandered in, had a look at Michael Hibbert, and all hell broke loose.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of Garns. There's not much of him. He looks like a little pipsqueak, but when he actually gets in there, he's pretty aggressive and pretty hard at it. So he's not going to take a backward step from anyone. And I think that's the things we love about him and Kane Turner and guys like that, is that, you know, they don't really care about their size or their weight or anything like that, or who they're coming up against. They're going to give us the same competitive effort every week, and that's why they're getting a game at the moment, because they're very predictable to us, and we know we're going to get 100% from them at all times.
Yeah, I think he's even better than that. He's got a real nice touch of class about him too. I want to ask you this, Goldie. There's a lot of debate and speculation about rotations and about interchange and about the sub. And the those that argue against rotation suggest it's far better to let players play, and you know, it's not a crime to get tired during footy, and then it becomes a battle of mind over matter and will and all that sort of stuff. Here's you that play 90% game time in the ruck. I mean, what would your, if the rules of the game committee said, come in and have a chat to us, Todd, we're thinking of going back to 4 and change, or we want to cut the rotations back to 80 or 60. What's your response to that?
I think they've got to go either way. I don't think they can have a sub and have a cap on a rotation. It seems like it's sort of having a foot in both sides I think, yeah, if you're going to have the sub, that you don't cap rotations, and if you're not going to have the sub, then you can cap it to 100 or 120 or whatever they want to do. But I don't think you can have both. Okay. They seem to work against each other.
Look, if I be a bit more specific then. So I'm watching the footy last night, and I'm watching you just fly around and doing your stuff, and you're working yourself into the ground. Looks like your head's going to blow up because you're working so hard, which is great. I watched Joe Danaher kick a goal half, 10 minutes in the second quarter and sprint 80 metres to sit on the bench because he's deemed he as a forward who plays inside 50, needs a spell. I mean, surely you look at that with bemusement when you see these forwards kick a goal and then run off and have a rest on the bench.
Yeah, the forwards think they're working hard, but you know, as soon as they come into midfield, they get a few lessons learned, I think. So, I think some of those forwards can be a bit precious and a bit soft at times.
Well, I think you're the standout example to be used here in terms of why this constant rotating of players is just a nonsense. I mean, you do it, you're the best in the competition at it, you're working from one end of the ground to the other, and this crap about sending blokes off for a spell after 2 minutes of footy is just balderdash.
Oh, yeah, it's hard, but I think the coaches are the ones pushing it. They generally say to you to come off before you're fatigued, before you're tired. Get a couple of minutes and get those rotations going so you're not sitting on the bench for too long. And I think that's where it starts from. We've got 120 rotations, so the coaches want to use as much of the caps as they can.
Goldie, grab one of your forwards by the back of the jumper and say, listen, you won't kill yourself to push through a little bit of physical pain by running. Anyway, I've had my say.
You maybe get JB to come down and say it to him.
Well, JB grabbing anyone's not going to do anything.
Exactly. You know what happens down there, Goldman. When I speak, everyone listens.
Toddy, the next 4 weeks can set your season up. We're getting to the point end of the season. You've got the Saints, you got Melbourne, Carlton and Brisbane. And history would say over the last two or three years that one of those games North have sort of let themselves down. So it's pretty important that you win those four games to stay in the hunt for the finals.
Yeah, definitely. I think we knew after last week's game that, you know, if we didn't get the result this week, then it counts for nothing. And the same goes for Brisbane next week and the following games. That, you know, we put ourselves in this position where we can't afford any real slip-ups, any real let-offs. So we need to focus on each week and bring the same sort of pressure that we've brought over the last 2 weeks, and we need to keep building up. We can't afford to drop any more games. I think hopefully that mindset now that, you know, pretty much every game's a finals game for us is something that's going to hold us in good stead.
Goldman, as we let you go, as your form's got better and better, so has the head wobble on Alex Ashenko, the big Russian. Is he happy with himself?
Well, bloody oath he is. I think he's carrying everything I've done to his great coaching. So
no,
I'm not sure where he gets it from, but his chest is poking out even more so than it normally does with the way he's carrying around.
Well, you're both going beautifully, so it's fantastic to watch. Thanks very much for joining us. Good luck. Some big weeks ahead for the Kangas.
Cheers. Thanks a lot, boys.
Todd Goldstein, good young man.
What about Gaz's question? It was very good.
Yeah.
But then you get a little bit of a love fest
then
Warrior.
Over,
I know it's bad radio.
Right. Thumbs up
and
Gaz.
Well, you weren't even listening to what he's saying. It was a very good question.
What about some of my questions?
And he drew a very good response in the end, too.
Well,
it was good journalism.
Yeah, I've got to wait for the stamp of approval from Warrior.
Gaz has got a very clean badge. Warrior's just made sure there's nothing.
Sorry, Hutchie.
Pink skin around.
Sorry, Hutchie.
When Gaz goes to the
toilet.
When Gaz goes to the toilet in about half an hour's time, there goes Warrior. I'll do it for you, Gaz. Don't worry.
Oh, you wouldn't even know what he said.
Thanks for your support, Warrior. Always. Pack her up and about. We were a bit neglected last night, so I forgot my glasses. And
right.
I probably will be today because...
It's on the iPad.
Well, because the
Inspirer had brought
forgot
the iPad
to bring
down.
The
what have you done?
And also, Chua's not here, so we've got to do our own stats.
Is that what's cost us, right?
But a lot of
well,
people...
mind you, we're very glad to have the Inspirer, because
well,
yeah. It means the snorkel ain't here,
big
and we've had enough of him.
And needs to go.
So we've now got proper production
exactly
in the back
right.
of the room, and the show
well,
will go seamlessly.
Organised food, Inspirer.
Yeah, that's
the pack are up and about. They're loving the two loving
over here
between Spud and Warrior.
It's all good, Spud.
It's awkward.
And they think that's got... What they do think, Teddy Cannon, the leader of the pack, and the rest of them think that it spells trouble for you, Warren.
Well, what
if it gets physical?
I've only got to move my elbow a good sort of 5.5 inches, and Warrior, you could be in a lot of trouble. But
and that elbow's already broken someone's thumb during the week.
Yeah, well, just on that.
Yeah,
apparently,
there?
Chief last night was blaming me.
Now, yeah, he was. 100%.
We do a few challenges.
Said you did something you said you weren't going to do.
We had padding on both of our midriffs.
Yes.
Not the Chief needed any. But I said, put your elbows up so you can kick to the pad to make it look good for the telly.
That's it.
So I did a couple of kicks early to the chief, and sure enough, my foot hits his elbow. I said, mate, lift him up.
Yeah.
And we stopped it. We started filming again. So chief went bang, bang, kick, kick. And then I put my elbows down. Chief put his thumb into my elbow. So he copped his right whack, chief.
Yeah, whack, chief.
And I've never seen... I know he's kicked 1,256 goals and an absolute legend, but he's the biggest sook I've ever seen. he was sucking his thumb for the next 3 days. His body language last night apparently was...
It looks pretty bad. So I had a look at it. He took a casing off it and it's very broken.
It looks pretty bad. It's a little fracture of the thumb, mate.
Yeah, I wouldn't get...
Toughen up, chief. George go down Karampus. To the supermarket and buy a tin of... Toughen the stuff up. So that's what Chief needs to do.
Good to see Spud dressed more in line with his age this week. You're not a trendsetter. That's from Georgie Karampus. Pickle says, Exhibit 2, Spud and Damo, very tight, looking slick wolf. Yep, that's true. Tool, JB. That's from Julie Gale.
Yep.
He had no rucking opposition. Well, we said that, Julie.
Yeah, we said that,
but
Jules.
But we'll read them out anyway. Jew Bolton, one of our men, he says that you two look like your best mates, which he didn't think was
the case.
That's
not right, Jude.
So they're coming in. So I'll read them as best I can on Inspirer's phone, but it's just a little more difficult down here. It's always difficult down here in Geelong.
Yeah. Before we get off last night's game, the Bombers, is there anything there that we need to talk about from the Essendon fans' point of view? I thought Michael Hurley again, Spud, was very, very good. He's having to talk about blokes having a terrific year.
Yeah, he's been outstanding again. He'd be in line for the All-Australian squad, no doubt in that whatsoever. He'd be in the top four defenders in the competition. And that speaks volumes for Hurley because they've had a fair old workload
down
there.
Lots of footy's been through that area. He was very good.
They've found his spot. Just do not move Michael Hurley at all. The last 2 years before this year, it was a little bit down back and fair bit up forward. But he is a dead set defender. You just need to leave him there. He's had another 24 disposals last night. He had, I think, 4 intercept marks. But he's spoiling an ability to compete. Is absolutely outstanding. He now, other than Job Watson, would be the second most important player at the Essendon Football Club. I've got no doubting that whatsoever.
Yeah?
Okay. No doubt.
Closing speed too. He's a big guy.
And you need that, JB. Yep. You need a good set of wheels to be one of the premier defenders in the competition because you're on forwards and you have to react to the ball a hell of a lot. But he's reading the play nearly as good as Alex Rance, and that's a big tick for Michael Hurley. Again, probably the best player for Essendon. I've got no doubting that whatsoever last night.
You mentioned Watson there, Spud. He spoke to Channel 7 at half time and for the first time in his own words expressed what had been being said about him around the footy traps, that he'd lost a bit of desire for footy and a lot of bit of interest in footy and just lost the want to be part of footy. It was pretty open and raw from JB in that interview on Channel 7 at half time last night.
I had some moments where I wasn't enjoying playing, and I guess it stems back to what happened at the start of the year, and given what we'd gone through, I felt as if we deserved to move on, and it's very difficult to have closure on anything until it's behind you, and unfortunately it's not. There was not a love for the game.
So that was last night. He didn't say much more than that. I mean, I think the opportunity would have been there to delve deeper into that space once he volunteered those feelings that he'd had. But as we know, out for the year, going away overseas again, he does a lot of travel anyway. And look, he made the indication he'd be back next year, guys. But at
everyone's
the same time...
Everyone's different, Damo. The bottom line is everyone's different. Everyone's different. When you're outside the AFL tent and you're looking in, this is for the playing tent, you think it's the greatest job in the world. And to all large intents and purposes, it is. But there are a percentage of the AFL playing group who would find it a chore. And that's a harsh reality when you think of the money and the prestige and the get to live your dream and all that sort of stuff. Well, it becomes a job, more so now than any other time. There's no escape from it. And I wouldn't say a large percentage, but there's a percentage of AFL players who don't like doing what they
especially
do.
Especially in that environment for 3 years.
Yeah, given the circumstances at Essendon. And I understand that from Job. He's a bit different. He's got different interests. And he likes to be able to play outside the arena as well. Yep. So I understand that.
As JB said, that the cause of that thinking from Job has already lasted 3 years. And as we've been saying now for a couple of weeks, it's almost certain to go into a fourth year too. So it doesn't end.
And with that, with Job, does that permeate through the playing group as well? So...
Well, they'd all be feeling it, Spud. They would all be feeling
it. No doubt.
And when they're not winning, it becomes even more of a grind. And look, another week. They did well last night. They competed hard. They tackled hard. They 11-5 tackles inside the first 10 minutes. They were scoring on turnover. They were preying on North mistakes, and they were making the most of their opportunities. But at some stage between now and then, they're going to be on the end of another hiding because it's all going to just compound. So That's the reality.
Come through.
Yeah, you know those two little Nipsies we spoke about, yep. like the little brothers who always say, come on, Kyle, can we come and play with
more
you?
More cousins, aren't they?
It's like if you get a... If you've got a seven-seater car, yep. they'd be the two in the, right in the little baby the seats at the back facing the other way.
Yep.
And just you well, give the them an iPad. Yep. Say, this is where you want to get to, you two, but you're not there. Shut up. Well, they've sent through some text.
Which one? The older one or the younger one?
No, well, both. Both Hutchie and Liam Pickering, I'm talking about, who are driving back just wishing they were in this box. They go, I want to play with the big boys. I want to get into that space. Well, you're not there, you
they're
two.
They're light years away. That's seriously.
I mean, honestly, they keep trying. They want to have a look. We might, on the drive home, we might go and have a kick of the footy with you in the park for a couple of minutes.
Throw you a little bone.
But if something else pops up, we won't. So just shut up and enjoy the drive. And if you want to, as you're threatening to do, flick over to the voice of reason, Jared Waitley.
Yeah.
Be our guest.
Yeah,
we've got plenty, champ. We don't need you.
That's right. They're not even plugged in over there, Hutchie. So you won't hear much. It's just it's an audio test pattern in those other boxes. Didn't you see the ratings, Hutchie? There's light years between Triple M and everyone else, including your mob. There's no one listening down here. Half the people sleep in the boxes. They're talking away. You're not even plugged in.
Away. He only needed the door to be open a couple of centimetres. He just smashed it in.
Speaking of other operators, 3 years ago, I better be careful because Dennis Cometti's on his way down.
Yeah, the great man.
And his apprentice has been going for 45 minutes and I was talking to Basil Zemplis. He's walking the ground. So if anyone hears, and they're all listening to Triple M, have a look over there at the Bulldogs run out over there. There's Baz strutting around with his hands behind his back. Welcome to the broadcast here at Civic Stadium today.
He's preparing his opener spot.
He's rehearsing.
He's rehearsing it, and there's a nod of the head. No, that's not right. We're here today. No, that's not right either. And he's just looking at the ground. Baz, 45 minutes is enough.
Careful, Spud.
Okay. Dennis is better be listening. Careful.
No, he's over there doing it. I'll tell you what he is, Jim, not coincidentally, I think, because Spud did blister him.
For similar behaviour.
About 3 years ago, one of the great blisters of all time.
Was.
He's as far away
he's
from
us. He's taking his axe a long way away.
During his rehearsal, he couldn't get a further place away from our box as he goes through his... And this is his routine. He's very good at it, Basil, and good on him. I say, stick to your guns.
Oh, no.
He did get in the huddle 3 years ago.
We need to take a little break.
He was right in the huddle.
Hey, Purple, we get to what the hell, is there any news we need to be across? Anything you're wanting to point out to the millions and millions of Triple M football listeners?
I think the Joe Watson interview last night that we just recapped a moment ago, Jim, is a story that, you know, will need to be a watch this space situation. He is obviously going to be contracted and to play next year, but I think you need to be in a better mindset to actually launch into the next year, and there's a lot lie ahead for Essendon Footy Club. We did touch also last night on Paul Little's comments given to Mitch Cleary during the week about the review of James Hurd's contract and just where that plays out, and obviously the overriding situations with WADA that they're still in play. And Stephen Dank again spoke to him again even last night, and he did say that by 5 o'clock Monday he would be appealing the AFL Tribunal. So that's the man himself saying that last night. So he's now said that twice on the record in the past 72 hours. So come Monday, 5 p.m, he will be appealing. And then, as we said, Gaz, the flow-on effect for that is it just puts everything else related to the WADA situation back, and we now believe fully into 2016. Harley Bunnell plays NEAFL this weekend for the Gold Coast Suns. There's a chance he could be back playing senior football next week, but there was a pretty profound statement made by the Footy Club yesterday to their own members online about how we apologise for our players who've taken illicit drugs and for their behaviours. And when you read it back, it's actually quite revealing as to how open they were about it. So
Far better to do that, though, mate.
Say again?
Far better to take that tack.
Yep.
I mean, they've been either unwittingly or kicking and screaming, doesn't matter how you say it, into this controversy and being exposed for that very behaviour. So this is their opportunity to go, right, let's come clean and just chuck our guts out the table. And they're no good doing a little bit now and then maybe 6 months down the track having something else. Just say, right, this is our moment. Let's cleanse here. Let's clean house. You've copped that. You know, the rest of these blokes have been told. We put our hand up and say, so the behaviour's been unacceptable. We admit to the illicit drug use, and everyone in footy knows that goes on everywhere. To what degree is the issue, but it goes on everywhere, so don't try and treat us like idiots.
Yep.
and now try and make this your starting point for, you know, for building what hopefully is going to be a really good footy club.
And you know my view on that club, but I felt that they covered up or attempted to cover up what they knew was the case back in March. But I'm also prepared to say now that since it blew right up in their face about 3 weeks ago, I reckon from that moment on they've been really good. It's a thorough look at what's going on, and they're yet to complete it in a total review sense, but they're getting toward the end of that, and that email yesterday sent to members was indicative of where they see they're at, and it's almost draw the line now and move on.
Of course.
Good. All right. I think Hose Mary's back in the studio and ready to go. So hit the sting, Hose.
Now, from the man that brought you...
And gastro, as I understand. And bugger all.
Comes... What the hell?
Oh, this is a nice Geelong helping, and I'm going back a few weeks here, Spud. It might be 3 or 4 weeks ago when one of our more accomplished and higher-paid football analysts might have run with this.
Sunday flying on 3RW.
What the hell? That's our man Gary, just forgetting which station he was working for. But what I will say is this, Spud.
Recovered well.
Well pointed out.
Yep.
Because the dead station targeted our man Bristol on Sunday. They threw their best Sunday did punch. They? And I'll tell you what he did, Bristol. He stared them down and kicked their ass. He kicked them into another state. Our big man. He owns Sundays. While the Spud said they're unplugged down there, so sucked in.
They can't hear you, Joe.
All right, I know they can't.
And Jay-Z and Wayne Carey and Wayne Schloss.
The Sunday team on Triple M has dominated that slot. And we'll continue from now
on. What about Jay-Z emerging as well?
Right, you see Jay-Z, and he's loving it too. All right, so we love that. And then the political sphere, Purple, we roll into regularly. Here's Tony Burke from the opposition talking about Bronwyn Bishop and her helicopter flight.
There are times when people make honest mistakes. But for the life of me, I don't see how someone accidentally gets on a helicopter and ends up at a Liberal Party fundraiser.
Tony, what the hell? I've got a message here for Bronwyn. Don't apologise for a thing. You're in the Liberal Party. You've already got a better pot to piss in. Don't pay any money and don't apologise. If you want to get in a helicopter and fly to a fundraiser, jump in. Fly over the top of the other Nipsies and land wherever the bloody hell you like. That's how they roll in the Liberal Party. That's what we've always loved about them. Not a nice bit of swagger, a bit of arrogance.
All right. No, that was where you're going to take that one, Jim.
Anyway, we move on to this one because this is a bit closer to home, Spud. This happened during the week on the rush hour, and I'm still shaking my head. Have a listen.
It's a pretty difficult road trip down there, so, yeah.
Not that far.
Yeah, oh, it's an hour. It's far enough.
Mate, it's 70Ks.
It's an hour and 15 years, Bill.
No, everything thinks it's what it is. Guacamalia. They think it is
what the
5 hours away.
Yeah, write that one there.
Even Bronwyn Bishop flies to get a bloody chopper. It is 45 minutes from the West Gate.
Willis, what the hell? I've heard Geelong caught a lot of things, Gary, in my time. But a Mexican avocado dip. One of them.
I heard that.
I'm not sure what he was trying to say. Was it Guantanamo or Guatemala? I'm not sure where he was going with it, Willis, but it's called English. Start using it.
Did you have Kobe Stevens in with him?
Kobe Stevens.
Who's out. He's a late,
yes, he is. Of course, he's got the lung puncture. Well, not puncture, bruising.
He didn't know what to say.
He didn't.
Kobe Stevens? No. I can imagine he just looked at Bill and thought, are you trying to be this stupid or does it come naturally? I think it comes naturally.
I don't know, Willis.
Is he down here today?
I hope he is. I can't believe he won't be. He'll drift in, the great man.
He's over at the pivots. So
the pivots, which are now over the other side. They've had their room moved, the pivots.
They're not happy either.
And there was a bit of controversy about it because they were up behind the goals at the players' stand in.
Prime space,
and
too,
loving
before.
It. Prime space, and had their own set up. And now I think the president of Geelong just wandered in and said, we like that room more.
Ship off.
You can ship off over the other side.
But I think by the time the message got to them, it was about the number person 43 in charge. So the president, or whoever it was who made the decision, couldn't look them in the eye and say, you're out of here. Mm. So. That's some poor person was sent the task to do it, and the boys didn't like it.
Oh, I love it.
Jim, I've got the Warrior. What about Warrior? The Inspirer's forgot to bring the iPad.
Yes.
I've been dealing with a small phone.
And you've got your glasses, so
I've
it's
got
hard
my glasses,
enough anyway.
I'm ready to go. And Warrior has got a, what's this called? An iPad in bag.
Yeah.
The whole time. You didn't think to mention that, Walker?
Well, I thought Triple M, the power of Triple M might have sorted you out.
I want to welcome a new member of the Wolfpack.
Who?
Ollie Wines.
Yeah. Our man.
Yeah. Our man. He's Saturday Rub. What are those things called? The little pictures, Warrior?
Avatar?
Emojis?
Emojis?
Yeah, emojis. A clap.
That's it, Ollie. Well, he'd always have been a member. He loves us.
Absolute champion he is. A fine young man coming from a great family.
A they chuka.
Love, What the hell, Jim?
Of course I did.
Very, very nice. And I think this
the Bromman Bishop title is interesting, Jim.
Yeah, well, she needs to just remember where she is. But the other thing, Purple, of course, is England. The England cricket team were lucky to get left out of what the hell. Sucked in is probably more appropriate to them because they got nice and ahead of themselves.
Mm. 4 for 8.
Got pretty smug after Cardiff Spud. And they have now been sat right down hard, and I like it. And I like Mitch Johnson too. The way he batted in Cardiff and now has come out and put the frighteners into him. It's good.
I tell you what puts the frighteners into me is some of this crowd.
Yeah. Just, we're fascinated with you, Gary.
They turn and stare at you.
We
separated by a piece of glass and then the front row of the first lot of supporters, and they turn just stare at you.
One guy's wearing a tea cosy.
Yep. Right at you, Spud.
That's the Gary Ayres. Remember that gamey one down here and then
whacked the box.
They haven't forgotten that, so they stare at whoever's behind them.
I love the people of Geelong, Jimmy. I love coming down, but it is a unique calling experience. You go with some of your real sort of blue stuff today, I tell you what.
Because it's the blue rinse set in front of us,
you said that.
They're an older bastard. Well,
we've moved. The windows are open.
They're not used to some of my raunchier stuff.
Well, I think you're
right. It might go through to the keeper.
Yeah, I think that's the point. I think it goes sailing over their head.
There's a bit of wind. When you said that, the woman looks about 82.
I'll tell you what. Someone
the younger crowd.
Someone in this crowd, too. There's something wafting through the window.
Oh,
I think they don't know what's going on.
We just knocked off. But
we have moved down a couple of boxes because...
much better.
The guy that used to sit in front of us, JB, with the rug, he's... we've moved down about 50 metres. Remember, he always has the rug?
Yeah, on his head or his knees?
Oh, mate, it's a half a possum on his head. That's what it
was. But it was a terrible rug.
Unlike that Western Bulldog person down there, he's got one of the great afros going of all time.
It is.
It's a young lady. It is. It must be one of the masseurs or the water bottle fillers.
Yep. It's lovely. It's a good bastard. That's your real Nordberg.
It's a real good shag going on down there. Hey, is the weather going to stay? I think who's the locals down here? We need help.
It's going to be nice.
No rain
at all.
Yep.
No Robbo will be all over.
Conditions are perfect.
And we forget, we talk about Joel Selwood being out, which is massive and has a great impact on this side. Jared Rivers is also out of this side, who has had a really good year, and he's got ongoing knee dramas. So he out of the side means that Taylor and Lonergan are going to have to play a bit more genuinely. And then our man, we were here early, of course, because you get here about 11:30, and we... couple of stragglers wander out on the ground, and the chomper walked out, Stevie J, we yelled out to him, and he acknowledged he knew we were here, Jim.
He smiled his
big chompers at us, and we feel that today will rise and fall on the back of him.
No, there's no doubt about it. Certainly the broadcast levels will.
Yeah. And he needs how many goals to go past, Bill?
Well, 2 to level and 3 to go past.
We want 3 goals that badly today.
Well, so. Bill called. They're great mates, of course, when... Stevie has got availability, and that's not always there. But when he has, they go down to the valley in the two of them, and Stevie drinks lemonade and punts, and Bill drinks beer and punt, and they do it for about 5 hours of a Saturday afternoon. So they're great mates, but Bill, so protective is Bill Spud of his place third in the all-time goal-kicking down here at Geelong, that he's actually called for the chompers to be dropped live on radio. He called for his axing, Spud, he could hang on to his spot at number 3, of course. So we hope he does lift today and have a very nice afternoon.
Leslie just on him has also given me a clip, says, put your glasses on. I've read 3 of his tweets out and haven't mentioned him. Oh. So sorry there, Leslie.
Just on Stevie Johnson, just seriously, guys, is he in a bit of trouble by way of his form?
Oh, God, warrior.
I want to be serious for a moment.
No-go zone when we come down here to talk about the future
we'll
of
park
the
park it
No, no. He, no, of course he is. He's in a group of about 4 or 5 who... I think I mentioned this really early in the year. Stokes and Mackie and Bartel and Kelly and the Chomp. I think the Chomp will play on next year.
Do you think he'll get another one next year?
But they won't be able to take all those boys in.
It depends on where they finish. I think sometimes if you look and they don't make the finals, they might cut a bit deeper. And that's normally what happens. So, look, he's been...
Do you think he needs to do more between now and the rest of the year than what he's done to this point of this season to guarantee?
Yeah, I think so.
I think a nice reminder that he's still got, we know he's got the X factor, but my worry for him is, and this is what happens when you get to this stage of your footy career, he's been caught a lot more. And as a result of that, he can't, we talk about separation, he hasn't been able to get off his man as much, so you go to ground a bit more trying to get a free kick for one over the back. And I think every nearly almost every player gets to that stage and they do it without even knowing, and it's not until someone pulls you up and says, grabs you and says, look, listen, let's have a look at your tape.
This Brent Harvey style.
Yeah, this is where you're at, and then you watch to see the reaction. If it continues and gets worse, well, you know the career's over. If there's, you know, a certified change in behaviour and form comes back to where somewhere where it was, then you go, okay, still got a bit in it. So that's why the next 8 weeks are really important.
Speaking of Brent Harvey, I didn't think I'd say this, Purple, but he is taller than a footballer's going to play in today's game. Yeah. That Caleb Daniel, he is a tiny little nipsy. Look at him. Yeah. Like, that's honestly...
He hasn't got his helmet on, Jim, no. So you get a good look at him for one
look
of the
at
few
him.
Times. But he is tiny.
That's close to you, as Jeff Boycott would brand him a dwarf.
He's...
Jeff Boycott. Well, Gary, look at him.
I know.
He's in the Nikons.
Game, his first game was outstanding. I think as a sub came on, kicked goals, set him up. Last week, perhaps not as impactful, but... Is that a word, impactful?
Yes. Yeah.
Well... I'm really looking forward, because what he does, I watched him down here in the under-18s, playing here for South Australia on this very ground, and absolutely ripped it to shreds. Ripped it to shreds. And he was one of those classic cases. Yeah. Can he do it at this level?
And he is.
And he did in the first crack, and every signs are really good.
Speaking of a player I know you would love, Spud Regis, plays 200 games today, 190 centimetres Dale Morris, which is not big enough to play on the gorillas that he has throughout his career. I don't think there's one person in football, let alone at the Dogs, that doesn't respect what he's done over 10 or so years.
Another rookie list player that's come through and played as a defender. And the list goes on and on and on. You know, Bock and Rutten and Gibson, Scotty Thompson, and Dale Morris now goes into the 200 club at the Western Bulldogs. As I said, off the rookie list, went through about three drafts, was overlooked, and as you said, he's had a couple of really bad injuries in the last 2 years. Let's hope he can keep going, because I just love the way he goes about it, and it probably springs back to 2009 or 10, I think it was, his duels with Nick Riewoldt, you know, giving away inches and just being able to be there. I think that prelim final that St Kilda got over the line, it was just a magnificent game from Dale Morris, as you said, overlooked, and now... 200 games, I think him, the Bulldogs, and more importantly, his family would be really proud of Dale, because he's as hard as a cat's head, he's quick, he's probably lost a yard of speed, but what he makes up for in that is grit, and that's all you want from a player.
Not many better blokes either, from what I can gather and I've come across in football than Dale Morris. I really say that seriously because he really is.
And got onto the stretcher without any sort of histrionics and got back quickly.
Took 2 years to
come. Hey, Spud, the other thing I want to raise with you, I know we've got Dicko, but he's going to have to wait, and that's what he does at Crown Bet. He waits till we're ready.
Well, after his story last night, too.
Monday night is one of my favourites because, of course, the class I'm rusted onto, but I have to wait for that because it comes on 9:30, so therefore I get the couch done first.
Yep.
And I was watching the couch, I think it was last week, it might have been the week before. Where Gary's mute button not quite working.
Nice oyster.
It was a significant oyster.
Well, just so people
What's
know.
What's happened to your mute button?
There's a cough button which I pushed, but it was Spuds. So I'm sorry about that.
Spud. John O'Brien on the couch pointing out, he said, it's because of Spuds. I think these are his exact words he used. Because of Spuds' half-wit Golden Fist Award. He said, I'm going to show you four or five examples of defenders who can get two fists to the ball, and if you can, why don't you mark the thing? Now, Spud, I think he makes a reasonable point.
No, I don't think he does. The defender's job is to have a contest and to bring the ball to the ground for his running players. Maybe those players aren't as skilled.
Spud.
And the players around them mop it up because they know what he's going
to
do.
Closed fist to a pill. Yeah. Surely you can open those
Look,
fists I have, and
it's a pretty
mark
good point
the footing,
he raises, Spud.
Oh, what would you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm referring to Jonathan Brewster. It's a pretty
thoughts?
Good point
Look,
he raises.
It's not a bad point, but it's a point not taken too well with me.
Jim, you might be giving the defenders too much credit.
Yeah, I think you are, Joe.
You've got to keep it pretty simple.
They're just got to meat and potatoes,
men,
mate.
These are your men, Spud.
They're blue-collar workers. They just don't want the accolades. They can have stats and
Rance
dream team and all that type
Rance
of thing.
Rance wants it.
What's that?
Rance wants it. He'll take the mark.
Well, he's a premier defender in the competition, and he's double fisted a couple.
Do
you want me to show you a couple?
Michael Hurley takes the mark.
Scotty Thompson got on top of Danaher and started marking it.
Yeah,
this is why you need to pack up
on that,
Joby. I called our great leader Teddy Cannon before. None of you bozos picked up on it.
Teddy Wheeler?
Teddy Wheeler.
It's a combination of him and Deb Cannon, the captain and the vice-captain of the pack. So I was just knocking both of them off, but I've been called to task.
He's been pulled up.
And aren't they excited about having Ollie Wines as a member of the Wolfpack?
Of course they are.
Be news to Ollie when he joins
them. He'll be Wolfpack royalty.
He is Wolfpack. Now, listen, I apologise to the pack because they're all over me. This is a different setup tonight. I must be reading out other people's tweets that get retweeted, Warrior.
Right.
And so attributing them to someone else. On Twitter,
right. That's not my fault.
So is that how Ollie's stuck in?
No, Ollie's was genuine. Oh, right, but I think I called Leslie Keith once. Someone. Anyway, they'll understand that it's not my fault.
Right.
And Jim.
Yes.
I think this beautiful lady you mentioned before.
Purple mentioned.
Todd Marchant says, that's my 84-year-old grandma you're talking about. Hashtag ask her for a biscuit.
I didn't point out her age. That was Purple.
Was that you, Warrior?
No, I didn't.
You said 84.
She's 84.
What did you describe her as?
You
when you looked at her, you described her as quote.
Warrior, you said
she's
84.
They've
cracked them. The brace and bits in front.
And fair enough, too.
There's going
that's
to be
not old,
Warrior. So
how
good
Damien Barrett
not
Barrett
in the ballpark of good enough,
Damien
Purple.
Damien Barrett
we're
right behind you, Warrior.
Look, he's on his own. Get a photo of that, Inspira. He's on his own, Purple, if you get a name.
And I might add, cut up rough in the front.
Yeah, they have. They're filthy right up.
It looks good, Gil Gaz.
Purple.
You were the one
you can't be going with ages. I don't know. But they're not happy, and they've got every right not to be either. And our man Gaz has headed out to just appease a few of the punters at the front of our box after Purple has basically pointed out their age.
I'm not copping that.
They're not overly happy with it.
Jim, so not
he's
overly happy,
had to
Joe,
go
man.
Out and basically sort things out.
I think that the window, unfortunately, cannot shut because of our speaker system, and thank God he's gone around.
Yep.
Because...
just to apologise and make sure it's all okay.
On your behalf.
On Purple's behalf.
On your behalf.
Purple said that lady was 84.
You
were his words.
You called them
old.
That's what Purple said, and now you can see what Gary's doing, and good on him too, by the way. He's making sure that lady's okay.
He's still not smiling.
I don't think she is 84.
T-Kazi head's still not smiling.
No, he's not seeing the funny side of it. Anyway, stuff him. For McDonald's Triple M Rocks Football at Guild Stadium, this is the preview for Coates Hire 13-15-52. Drop into your local branch today. One of the great stories, Spud, already in season 2015, is the fact that Daniel Menzel is back playing footy in the seconds for Geelong after four knee reconstructions and as good as 3.5-4 years out of footy. One of the more talented players on the Cats list, of course. He's been good enough to jump in and join us today. Menz, welcome.
Thanks, JB. It's good to be here.
What a great thing. Last week, we all knew you were playing and everyone, didn't matter what game we were covering, had an ear to the game down here to make sure that you got through okay, and you did.
Yeah, I did. I it's been a long time coming. It's been 2.5 years since I played an actual game of footy, and we played Werribee at Werribee, and it was nice and wet and windy, and it was just good to be back in with the boys and just running around, I guess.
Must have been more than one occasion when you doubted whether that would ever happen.
Absolutely. I think in my fourth reconstruction, that was probably the most difficult time because I had tendonitis in the knee. So there were times where all of last year we were training, but I just couldn't get out and play. And so even my physio said, mate, I can't guarantee this won't go away, and I can't guarantee that you will play another game of footy again. So there were times where I never thought it wasn't going to happen, but you definitely questioned it, absolutely.
What's the program now, Daniel, for yourself? Is it 3 or 4 games in the VFL just to get that continuity before you and hope to play senior AFL footy this year?
Yeah, it is. It's for me, I've worked with my physio and we spoke about it numerous times, and it's a very minimum 3 games in the VFL. Yeah. Tomorrow's my second, and he actually said to me midweek, he said, you know, if you get a bit of ball on the weekend, you're not playing AFL the following week. And I said, mate, don't worry, I'm not worrying about that. I'm just worrying about getting out there again. But after 3 weeks, hopefully I can get a little bit of the footy and maybe put my hand up. But absolutely, my goal is to get back into this team this year and hopefully be a part of finals footy.
Daniel, Joel Selwood out today. Obviously, the club would rather him be out there than not. But having said that, you deal with what's in front of you. Is it possible that not having him for this crunch game today could actually, in that roundabout way football clubs sometimes approach games, be a good thing for the club to try and get itself out of this little bit of a rut that it's in without the man who's always been there for them?
It's interesting, Damo. It really is, because Sel has been so good for us and the opposition tags him every week. And clearly, we have not been good enough in the midfield this year. We've been killed in a lot of games, and Sel just hasn't had that backup. So it's actually probably not a bad thing today that it will just everyone else has to step up and fill that void. And so hopefully we can get that. absolutely, it'd be nice to have Joel out there, but quite simply to put it straight, we haven't been good enough in the clearances and the stoppages and in the ball around the middle of the ground. So hopefully today we'll see someone else step up. Jimmy Bartel back in is a pretty handy addition from last week, and maybe he'll go through the midfield a bit more.
With the bye round and then on the back of that, the game against Adelaide that was not played, there was a 21-day gap between Geelong's games before last week's lost to North. Do you think now that you've got that out of the way and the team performed relatively poorly in that, that there was a contributing factor to that, the break, the extended break?
It's difficult to tell, but I think it might have played a part. We were slow last week, absolutely, and even over the bye break, it's difficult to know what to do. We had a couple of hard training sessions, but at the same time, we were sort of like, we don't want to smash each other and maybe get an injury because we're not playing. We get a chance to freshen up, so it's not the reason why we lost last week, absolutely, but some of the boys were definitely off, and not playing in 2 or 3 weeks definitely could have a toll on some players, but absolutely North were better than us last week.
Daniel, I'm not sure whether you've been in the opposition team meeting. I'm sure you probably would, and you know a lot about the Bullies. What are they doing differently under Luke Beveridge, and what do Geelong need to counter-attack of what their style is?
Yeah, they moved the ball really well. We play Footscray in the VFL tomorrow, and so it's obviously the Bulldogs today. So VFL and AFL's had a very similar theme to it this week. Boyd and Murphy, a couple of the guys, and Easton Wood as well,
are in
some amazing form. So that means that they get their halfback flankers involved in the game, and they really try and spread the ground. So we've got to defend well as a unit, which we didn't do last week. North Melbourne sort of pulled us apart pretty well. We've got to make sure today that we don't allow that. And I guess it's the same for us in the VFL tomorrow. They're very good at flicking the ball around, using each other, and actually getting to the contest first. And that's what we're going to take away from them today.
For Geelong supporters and you, importantly, a couple of youngsters there that are going really well. Lang has been terrific. I think Gregson and Furlough. So. Yep. A lot of bright futures for those boys.
Yeah, there is. There's those guys, and the guys that have been around for 3 or 4 years now that some of them maybe haven't had their best seasons, but it is. It's promising that if we can get everyone right and everyone on the park. There's even guys like Nathan Vardy, Josh Cowan, who are on the injury list at the moment that are coming back in the next couple of weeks. Mitch Duncan in today. So those guys, absolutely. Gregson's been awesome. The same with Lang up forward, but you can't ask too much of them in their first and second years.
Jed Buse, son of a gun, Andrew Buse, Geelong champion. He's flying under the radar. His form's been very, very good. He very rarely gets beaten, and now he's starting to get a bit of the pill.
He really does. We admire what he does at the Cats, absolutely. He played on Eddie Betts in the preseason, and it was probably his best game for the year. Eddie didn't kick goal, and we've seen the form that Eddie's in, but there's only maybe one or two times where the opposition's really got a hold of him this year, but Jed's probably taken over that role from Josh Hunt. You put him on the most dangerous small forward, and you know he's going to do a pretty good job. So today, whether it might not be Stringer, but it might be one of their other small forwards up there, but we know that he's going to do the job.
Josh Cowan, you just mentioned, came back in and played after a huge absence from footy. He would have done a lot of rehabbing with you, I'd imagine, and then injured himself, I think, in the first quarter of when he came back. So he's equally been run over by the unlucky truck, if you like. Yep. How's he going?
He's going well. He's looking at playing in the VFL next week, along with Nathan Vardy, who hopefully will make his return from his ACL reconstruction from last year. So they're both tracking really well. Josh has had to have more of a mini preseason because he's coming off another hamstring. Yep. So we've had to test it out and test it out numerous times. So them two back in the VFL next week, I'll play with them. I'm looking forward to that unbelievably, and so is the rest of the group because it might just give us a little bit more energy as well, getting those guys out of rehab.
And big Reece Stanley, a foot injury, gone for the season. Has he been able to have an absence from the club, or what's he been doing?
Yeah, so he went and had surgery up in Brisbane, I believe, and he's had a couple of weeks off because he hasn't been able to do anything.
Yep.
He's already built enough as well, I think, so he won't need to do too much in the upper body in the gym, but Reece is a massive loss for us. I think when we picked him up, everyone was like, Mitch Clark's a big pick up and Reece Stanley, yeah, okay, that's right. But it's just showed that Reece in our ruck, if we can get him going and get some continuity in him, I think he told me he's done 5 or 6 hamstrings in his time at St Kilda, so he never really had a run at it.
Yep.
So hopefully next year we'll be able to get him and have a really strong run at it, along with Nathan Vardy, and all of a sudden our tool and our ruck stocks look a little bit better.
All right, mate, well, we'll let it.
No, that's it.
Good luck, Daniel. It's great seeing you playing as well as you are, mate, and getting back into into what we hope is going to be a really elongated run at it, because so much talent. And by the way, so is your brother. He's going beautifully too. You've been enjoying the way he's been playing footy?
He is. He's going really well. Had a really good first half of the season, but he started to have a couple of niggly injuries and some knee soreness, which has sort of held him back a little. But it is. It's been, for me personally, over the last 3 years, to watch him play has been really enjoyable. Why I can't.
Now, Daniel, you're probably a little bit confused why Gary Lyon is out there in the front. And he's had to apologise for a lot of things that's happening in the bustle. Head out to Gary Lyon in the front row. Just be, what's going on?
Thanks, Annie. Yep, I am. I'm right out in the front, in the very front row, which is separated by a pane of glass.
Tiny bit of glass.
With Margaret, who's been here.
Margaret.
Come over here, Robbo. Bring your bag. I haven't got enough room. You've been sitting in these seats for how long, Margaret?
Sorry?
You've been sitting in this very seat for how long?
For 54 years.
54 years. Wow. And yep. Damien Barrett, who's the newsman here, you're a fan of Damien's work?
Hello, Margaret.
She said no.
Not a fan of your work.
Fair enough.
What about Danny Frawley? Hello, you like Margaret. His commentary?
Beautiful lady, Margaret.
Silence.
I don't want
anything to do with you, Spud. Sure, his voice will be sort of permeating through here. You have you having Jane's voice?
He's the opposition, isn't he?
He's the opposition.
Last week.
Bias. They're not fans of it. I'm the only one they like. And they've got, I think, granddaughters of Reg Hickey down here, sitting here. The great Reg Hickey stand over there. So this is Geelong royalty here.
No doubt.
And what we'd like as a group, because I'm now in amongst
I've had some
lollies and biscuits. Keep your language down, Jim.
Oh, that's purple's the one that needs to be
and
careful.
Warrior,
it can work blue.
You have embarrassed yourself today, Damien. Margaret said you've embarrassed.
I've embarrassed myself.
Yes, you have.
But the caller calling them something.
No, you did.
I did.
I apologise and I'll pass it on.
I'll apologise on behalf of Jim.
Thank you. You should apologise too. Hey, Gary.
Yes?
What about men's? Back and playing after four knee reconstructions.
There's so much love out here for men's, as you would know. And, well, we just want him to get a fair crack at it, Jim. Because if he can stand up, he's going to play great footy. We know that. And these Geelong supporters want that as well. Yeah. I'm sort of pretty comfortable out here, Jim.
Look at you.
Anyone got a biscuit?
You're a real
disingenuous. Cup of tea, anyone, for me?
Hairy Nipsey. Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.